Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Cardin, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could rip all my hair out and call me a bald eagle, and I would still date you. Ooh, that one was dumb.
Oh no, that was dark.
Thank you. That voice you hear is the host of the Forever 35 podcast, and she's got a book called Dead Moms, the Dead Moms Club. It's Kate Spencer. I'll see you perform at UCB, and you're wonderful.
Oh, wow. Jeez, thanks.
Your podcast is so fun.
You were a guest.
I did get to do an episode. It was really great.
It was so fun having you on.
Thank you.
I still think about it and
also,
laugh
I really like your leggings.
Oh, thanks. They're from one of my podcast sponsors, Fabletics.
Ooh, Fabletics.
Fabletics. I don't know if they sponsor this podcast,
no,
but they should.
They're really cute. Do they come in plus sizes?
They do.
Ooh.
I believe Fabletics is pretty size inclusive.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we were recording, you said that your children, you have two adorable girls.
Yes.
And they had a question for me.
They were like, Mom, you've got to ask Nicole, because they are obsessed with you as we've established in the past. And like the best thing about me is that I know you. And they were like, can you please ask Nicole if she knows if she was mentioned on The Masked Singer and that they thought the penguin was Nicole?
Not only did I know... I asked for it to be added to my Wikipedia page.
Oh, good.
And then someone added it to my Wikipedia page. I don't think I've ever been brought more joy than that moment, because that show is a fever dream and I really like it.
Would you ever go on it?
No, okay. I can't sing. So it would be very bad and I think very embarrassing for me. But the slow zooms on the audience chanting, take it off.
Oh my God.
And then
it's strange,
on the judges going, who is it? And then the who is it going to commercial break. It's an hour long sketch comedy video.
It's wild.
It's so wild. And then the costumes are truly a treat. I can't, like, they're insane.
Yeah, it's very weird. And my kids love it, but they don't know who any of the celebrities are. And also, like, Robin Thicke made a Monica Lewinsky joke, and then my child repeated it. And I was like, do you know who Monica is? And she was like, no. So it's just weird that they even enjoy it. Like, they don't know who Sherry Shepherd is.
No. But or that she has been a guest for almost every episode for the past 2 years. Jenny McCarthy is like, Sherry Shepherd!
It's obviously Sherry. And they'll be like, I'm a football player. She's like, Sherry Shepherd. It's so strange. And then it was finally Sherry Shepherd, and she didn't guess Sherry Shepherd.
I know. And I think it was Jenny McCarthy who said you.
Yes.
Yeah. My kids call her Jenny McCarthy Wahlberg. Like, they call her by her first name. Her full name.
Really love that they're like, we can't have Wahlberg erasure here.
No.
She's married to Donnie,
and
right?
They know who Donnie. Yes. They've gotten like very into 80s culture.
That's adorable. How old are they?
They're
old
9
now.
And 6, but like the original Full House came into their lives this year.
Oh.
And it like opened, and then also the newer Fuller House, mm-hmm. and it's just like changed their understanding of pop culture.
Do they like Fuller House?
They love it.
Oh, see, I really loved their original Full House, and the Fuller House just seems not complete.
Well, I mean, the original three dudes don't live in that. They're just kind of like tangential characters
like come
who
in
float
and
out. Yeah.
And then I was like, you don't have the Olsen twins. Yeah.
It's not the same.
This isn't real for me. Also, I really like the cup you're drinking out of. It's very big.
It's a 32-ounce hydro flask.
Oh.
That I think is cool with Visco Girls.
Oh.
Which, do you know what a Visco Girl is?
No, but I feel like I keep seeing that written on the internet.
Yes, it's a very hot topic for internet writers. Oh. It's like teen girls mm-hmm. who walk around in Birkenstocks with a certain kind of bracelet, and they carry giant Hydro Flasks. And they also wear Crocs. I don't know what it is. I don't get it. I'm 40. But this is my...
How strange.
It's my attempt to stay young.
Huh. You do look young. Were you working out, or is this just a look?
No, I worked out today.
What do you do for working out?
Okay. I do all sorts of things, mm-hmm. but today I did LEK Fit, which is like a trampoline class.
Oh.
And if you follow Busy Phillips' Instagram, it's mm-hmm. the thing she does every day.
Oh.
It's very intense.
I really love LA because any type of workout you'd like to do, they have it. It's like, you want to roll around and sweat with an elephant? Come to Santa Monica and you could do just that. And you'll burn 7,000 calories. You'll leave smaller than a peanut. It's so wild. It's so funny.
It's so wild. Like, I once took a class where we just, like, beat drumsticks on the floor.
That's what I mean.
It feels made up.
And you probably, like, were sweating, and your arms probably hurt the next day.
It was genuinely challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, this class, the whole time I was doing it, I was like, why the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I think I should be here? And it's very hard, and you are literally just, like, jumping on a tramp, you know, it's mm-hmm. just, I've had children, and so it's hard for me to jump on a trampoline without peeing myself.
Sure.
So there's like a lot of that going on of just like, mm-hmm. what if I pee myself? Well, it's okay. You know, it's just my body.
What if you wore like Thinks underwear or like an absorbency something?
You know, I could wear like a diaper.
You could wear a diaper and just be that interesting woman in class who makes noises as she jumps.
Just with like a strange crinkle. I have Thinks underwear.
Do you think they work?
I think it's like more than just if they work. I think you have to be comfortable with like the free bleeding experience.
Mm.
Have you ever worn them?
No, I don't know if they come in my size.
I don't know what their size range are.
Size range is?
Who knows? Who knows what the correct way of saying that is?
I don't know.
It's not an experience that I loved, but mm-hmm. like maybe that I'm like, maybe I should get used to this and just like feel my body for what it is.
I don't really like a pad, and I feel like it would be close to wearing a pad where you're just bleeding out.
Yeah, and it's like your whole underwear experience is a big pad.
Ooh, I don't know if that's for me. But maybe I'll look into it. It might be fun.
Give it a Google.
I don't know.
It might be fun. Might be just like a day you try it. You're staying at home.
Yeah, so but then I'm like, I don't want to bleed all over my couches.
This is kind of... You won't. You
yeah,
won't.
Yeah, I'm not going to get them.
Don't.
This
don't
is not
do
for
it.
Me.
You
I
know
don't what? Have to.
Take a stand. You don't.
It's not the law. Not yet.
Not yet.
So you're a married lady.
I am.
How long have you been married?
11 years.
Dang. That's such a nice long time.
It is a long time. And it's nice.
And were you, obviously you dated before you got married. How many years were you dating before getting married?
So we dated, my husband and I started dating in 2003 and we got married in 2008. So it's 5 years. Mm-hmm. So what felt like a long time at the time, mm-hmm. And I was 29 when we got married, which also felt old, quote unquote, and now feels like I was like a child bride. It feels very, very young.
Well, my therapist says that your brain isn't developed fully until you're like in your 30s. That's why mental illnesses pop up in your late 20s, early 30s. Because your brain's not done yet.
That's like, fascinating.
I don't know if we're going to be bipolar yet. Then at 30, it's like, we are. How does it feel? Like, not great. Not great.
That's interesting. All my mental illness stuff popped up in my like late teens, 20s. Oh, okay. Oh, no, I guess early 20s. I guess mm-hmm. it did kind of develop. Oh, geez.
Yeah, like early 20s, mid-20s to like about 30. Like, if you hit like 32 and you haven't discovered anything, more than likely
you're in the fucking clear.
This is how you are. Okay. You're fine. Or not fine. Your brain works differently than people whose brains need medication. It's hard to use vocabulary.
That was a very...
inclusive and... because... when you have ADD, you're not like different or wrong or weird. Yeah. It's just your brain works differently.
And I like the way that you've put that. I have OCD and chronic anxiety. Mm-hmm. And my brain does work differently. And maybe ADD, but I've just been too lazy to go meet with the doctor to get tested. Mm-hmm. My psychiatrist is like, maybe here's a specialist. And I'm like, I'll just take the maybe and like live with that. Yeah. Yeah. So Anthony, my husband, and I have been married. It's like recently I was like, oh, this is a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, we're people who have been together a long fucking time.
Yeah.
And that is what it is.
Yeah, that's what a marriage is.
That's what a marriage, and it's hard.
I could imagine being with the same person for such a long time. And then, actually, you're not with the same person for a long time. You're with a person who's growing and evolving, and you're growing and evolving. And if you don't grow and evolve in the same way, I can imagine how fucking difficult that is. You know, in movies when they're like, you're not the man I married. And you're like, wow, she's dramatic. But it's like, no. She's actually like onto something because this person is a different person.
Yeah, she evolved. And I think I feel like we've been really lucky in that we have both evolved as people. But also like the thing that originally made me adore him is still there. And that's what I think keeps a marriage going is like, we're still able to connect in the way that like when I was 23 and he was 27 and we were just like dumb and running around New York, like that sensation and that connection is still there.
How did you met at UCB?
We met in like a meet cute-ish improv comedy way.
Ooh.
Like he saw me in a show. And then I went to one of his shows and one of the person taking the tickets was like, my friend thinks you're cute. Ooh. He's about to perform. And then I watched a group of all men perform trying to figure out which one it was. And like there were definitely two who were wearing shorts in the winter. You know, that type of white male improv. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Improv comedian. And then we became like friendly after. But I was very dumb and very young and didn't understand like dating or when people liked you. And I was also kind of going through my first and only what's it called? Rumspringa.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Are you Amish?
Not yet, but I had that. Look, my life is still young, but I was like moved to New York, broke up with my college boyfriend and had like a year and a half or 2 years like, I'm making out with a random stranger. So I met him kind of at the tail end of that phase of my life. And then we started dating when I was like 23, 24.
Did he ask you out or did you ask him out?
He asked me out.
Do you remember how?
Yes, we were at this is a very long story.
Well, we have time.
I mean, I know it's a podcast. We were at back in the early aughts of UCB, there were these things called company parties that people threw. This was it was like John Daly's birthday party slash a company party where everybody had like a corporate title. Nothing made sense. It was the aughts. It was like at a bar downtown, and there was someone at the party who had given themselves the title the director of hookups. And this guy was also hitting on me, so he came over and asked me if there was anybody I was interested in, and I said no because I was trying to not engage this person in like a sexy way. And then he reported that to my husband now, and then my husband was just like, fuck it, and came up and asked me out. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
It does make
sense. It's kind of a shorter version of a long, weird, drunk night.
It is very funny that a bunch of 20-year-olds were like, I'm the director of hooking up.
It's and, so lame.
I'm going to make these people fuck.
So lame.
And then we'll do whippets and it's going to be cool. Yeah, improv is truly the lamest thing I think I've ever done in my life. And I adore it.
I do love too.
Doing
I love
improv.
It.
But I just think about my early 20s and I'm like, yeah, we partied pretty hard, but maybe the dorkiest kind of way.
100%. 100%. But it was like for me, it felt very, that time of my life was very exciting because mm-hmm. I had never been around so many like funny, brilliant, weird yes. people before. And it just felt like we were doing the coolest shit in the world. Mm-hmm. Again, it was very dorky.
Very dorky.
It was exciting.
But it was very cool. I remember seeing just like the Stepfathers or like this is very inside baseball.
Yes.
But like older teams in New York I would see and I would watch you perform or watch Anthony perform and you would just be like, my God, how is everyone so smart and quick yeah. and brilliant? And you'd see like Death by Ruru and you'd be like, oh boy, I want that. I want to do that.
Yeah.
And then there's no feeling like being on a stage making shit up and then having a crowd like laugh at the thing that you just like
yes.
said.
It's very powerful and like very mm-hmm. ego boosting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you fail in that same space,
uh-huh.
it's destructive.
It's devastating.
Yes.
And then for those who don't know, so UCB has teams called Herald Teams. You get put on a Herald Team and then you make up a half hour show and then get notes on it after.
Yeah.
Which always felt counterintuitive because I was like, so you're going to note something that I'm never going to ever
gonna
do again? And that wasn't even recorded. So like, I don't actually remember what you're saying to me right now.
That we're doing for fun.
Yeah.
But it felt it was so serious. I took it so seriously.
Oh, so
and
did I.
And I still feel like deeply passionate about it. And Anthony and I were on the same improv team.
Yes.
Yeah, which is like
Wait, which team was that?
We were on a team called Reuben Williams together.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, Reuben Williams. That then became something else.
Well, here.
But you guys still do shows here.
We do, Reuben but Starship. We're called Reuben Starship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's always a bit.
Was dating an improviser who was doing similar things to you hard? And did you ever feel like you were in competition with each other?
Well, this is, again, very inside baseball, so I apologize to any non-improviser listening. Mm-hmm. But to get on the aforementioned Herald teams, you had to audition.
Yes.
And then if you made it past that, you got a callback. Mm-hmm. And Anthony and I were in the same callback group. And this was about a month before we started dating. Mm-hmm. We did all our scenes together, and he got put on the team, and I did not. And we had made
a
deal that when we found out, we would call each other. And he mm-hmm. found out and knew I didn't get on and didn't call me because he felt bad.
Oh,
but
honestly,
I survived.
That's very sweet.
Yes. So that is, but I don't know, like we don't work together. Like he and I are both writers now. And I will read some of his work and give thoughts and he'll read some of my work. But like we've never collaborated mm-hmm. on work. And I don't think would be good for our relationship.
And I think that's really great to set up healthy boundaries because there's nothing wrong with not wanting to work with your significant other.
I guess I'm so like impressed by all these significant mm-hmm. others who do work together.
Yeah, but you don't know the ins and outs of it. Like
that's
you don't
fair.
Know if like one goes to sleep at night being like, if I could kill him and not go to jail, but still have our script produced, I would do that. So, you don't know what that person's feeling. Also, fun fact, Sashir and I, when we auditioned for Herald Night, we also did our scenes all together.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm. And then neither of us got on.
Which, but also goes to show, like, for that experience to be a measure of, like, what your mm-hmm. success is going to be in the comedy world, like, it's
yeah.
not... look how far you and Sashir have mm-hmm. like gone. It's, you know, so anyway.
I mean, we finally got on.
Yeah. You did. You made it.
We finally, it was really nice. are you like a serial monogamist? Have you like jumped from relationship to relationship?
No, I was like, my first boyfriend I had at 17.
Mm-hmm.
I went to an all-girls school. I did not feel comfortable around boys.
Mm-hmm.
Then I fell in love with my first boyfriend. And I was literally in my brain thought we were going to get married. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was
think everybody thinks that.
Oh, my God.
You'll meet someone in high school and they'll be your high school sweetheart. You'll get married. You'll have 20 children and be great.
God, how fucking. I mean, listen, if that's your life, good for you.
Yeah,
that
sure.
would have not been right for me.
Correct. Same.
So, yes. And then I dated the same person for 3.5 years in college. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved to New York, like I said, I had my brief rumspringa mm-hmm. where I like kind I had for me what was like a promiscuous life. But I've always been very I don't think prudish is the appropriate word, but like a little guarded when it comes mm-hmm. to intimacy. So like I had a few I had like, you know, I took a couple lovers, mm-hmm. but like. It was always, I think I always operate from like a place of fear too. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if that's just my background, but like I was always certain either like someone was going to murder me or, you know, like when I started sleeping with my high school boyfriend, we were both virgins. I was on the birth control pill and we used condoms. Like, do you know what I mean? Like I kind of existed from a place of fear
mm-hmm.
When it came to my sexuality in my like teens and early 20s.
We're very opposite in that aspect.
I know.
I truly am like, I dare you to try to kill me. I dare you to try to impregnate me. I won't do anything preventative, but I dare you.
I wonder what that is though, because it is like the other side of the pendulum, right?
Well, I personally think it's we've both lost our moms. Mm-hmm. My mom died when I was 16. And I think after she died, my brain went, well, we're all gonna die.
Yeah.
Throw caution to the wind and truly act like a feral cat. Like I was just doing things that truly made zero sense. And friends would be like,
yeah.
Like Anthony Atamanik one day sat me down and was like, Nicole, you gotta live a little bit better. You gotta not come to work hungover like this anymore. You have to just do better because you're too talented to live like this.
Wow.
And Anthony is a wild boy who had done a lot of wild things. And then I was like, oh no, if this wild man's telling me to chill out, I better fucking chill out.
Did you take his advice?
Later, when a friend brought it up again and was like, so maybe you don't drink as much and maybe you don't take as many risks in your life.
And do you think that all connects back to losing your mom at a young age?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I lost my mom and then was like, well, and then me and my dad weren't super close. So I just felt like this person who was like untethered.
Yes. That was the word that was literally just in my head. Untethered completely.
And sometimes I still feel like that now, but I know that I have like so many beautiful friends who do tether me to this earth, who do love me and validate me as just like a person in the world as opposed to a performer in the world. And then after my dad died, I fully was like, oh, if you act like a crazy person, like years after he died, like maybe 3 or 4 years, I was like, no one's coming to bail you out if you get arrested again. You have to be a productive member of society who does things other than improv shows. You have to do things.
It's hard.
Yeah,
it's very really hard. It's really strange the way in which grief and loss connects to like how we experience partners.
Yeah.
And put ourselves out there sexually and physically. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just I for me, my mom died when I was 27, so I was already dating Anthony at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually an amazing, like, partner to go through that with. He had lost his mom 4 years earlier, so he, like, knew the drill. So I don't know if I have as much of a connection to, like, I mean, I definitely drank a lot after my mom died and then also tried to control my world by basically just going on Weight Watchers and losing a ton of weight and having a really fucked up disordered eating situation.
Well, yeah, you just grasp at straws as to like, what can you control?
Yes, what can you tether with?
Mm-hmm. I think maybe I was trying to control being wild. Like if I was the wildest fucking person, then it's okay. And if bad things happen, it's okay because I was acting poorly.
Yeah. Well, there's like a freedom in acting wild, like like you are like pushing the button of mortality a little bit.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, maybe I was just like, take me now. Who knows?
And here you are.
Here I am.
It didn't work.
I'll never die. I do feel like I'll live forever, which maybe isn't the best way to live.
No, that's where all my anxiety comes from.
We have to take a break.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out. So you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DateMe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DateMe. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can, like, order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho! Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, and we're back. Do you have siblings?
I do have a brother.
How old is he?
He's 3 years younger than me.
Oh, okay. Was he affected when your mom died?
Yes, totally. Yes, we both were. We both quit our jobs and moved home.
Oh, okay.
To be with her. Although I had, like, a weird thing where I would go to New York and, like, hostess at a restaurant on the weekends and do my improv show and then take the bus back to Boston where my family lived. My brother quit his job completely and moved home. Mm-hmm. He was younger, so he was 23, 24 when she got sick. And we both just, like, my mom's had cancer, and it was a very clear diagnosis of, like, you're going to die fast. Mm-hmm. So, because it was pancreatic cancer, which, man, Alex Trebek really rocking out the pancreatic cancer. Yeah. I'm such a cynic about pancreatic cancer, but he has it. He's still going strong.
He's still hosting Jeopardy.
He's
fucking
out there.
Thriving.
Yeah. So that gives me, I always, like, you know, I look for the people with pancreatic cancer. We both moved home and were there when our mom died, and it was really intense and weird and great.
Death is fucking nuts. Death? Nobody explains it to you.
No.
It's just a thing you have to experience.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's always, I feel like even if you know it's coming, it's sudden. Because suddenly they're not there. And you're like, oh.
Yes. It was very, and it took me, I mean, years to really, like, get used to the fact that my mom wasn't alive anymore. Mm-hmm. And even still to this day, I'm like, beep, bop, boop, like, sure, I'm going to call my mom. And then it's like, no, she's been dead for 13 years.
Yeah, I think I'm 33 or 34.
Didn't you just have a birthday?
Yes. I refuse to actually remember it.
You said the same. I was listening to an episode of this podcast recently, and on it, you were like, I'm about to turn 33 or 34. I don't know.
Don't know. So maybe I'm 39. But this year's the year that I've been alive longer without my mom than knowing my mom. And I was like, that feels insane. And then losing both my parents, like, my sister was affected in a way where she is a very closed door person, where you really have to knock hard at that door for her to open it. And I'm a little bit like that, although my door is, like, a little, like, there's a sliver, and I'm like, hello, I might let you in. Dating has been hard, because I'm like, well, if I date you and get to know you and you just go away, then what was the point?
Ooh, go away, like, leave, like, break up with me or actually die?
Well, break up.
Yeah.
Break up to me is kind of like death.
Fuck. That's
but it's a death in a way where you still exist in the world,
which is infuriating.
Yes.
And I it makes me, like, actually angry to think about the ways in which a loss like this can then impact your relationships for the rest of your life. Like, it's unfair, you know what I mean? Like, something like losing a parent, doesn't happen in a vacuum. It affects every part of your life. Okay, so have you had a relationship where you haven't felt that way?
I've only had, like, one relationship where I was, like, pretty vulnerable and told this person a lot of stuff. And then we didn't end up working out. And then I was like, I'll text you. I'm going to keep texting you until we figure out why this didn't work, which was fully insane. And my therapist was like, I understand why you're doing it. And then I asked him recently to be on the podcast, and he was like, no, truly cannot think of a more terrifying thing. And I had texted him. I was like, come to my podcast. It'd be really fun to have someone who never liked me on, because I wanted him to say that he did like me, which was, like, an insane thing.
No, it's not the same.
And I said it, and my therapist, Mary, was like, well, you know what you were doing, right? And I was like, yes, oh, I was being very devious and trying to get an answer that I wanted to hear. And then he was like, seems like a nightmare. Don't want to do it. But like, happy to talk to you if you don't think I liked you because I did, or something to that effect. And I was like, ah, that didn't make me feel good either. I don't know what I was looking for. Then I was like, delete his number. Just delete it. It's fine. What are you keeping this number for? To scroll up and read text from when you were okay? What is, that's not helpful. So then I deleted it and then was also driving and was like, what have I done?
Wait, you deleted it while driving?
Yes, which is like not good.
It's okay.
I should not be on my phone. And then I was driving on the 101. And I was like, but you'll never get the number back. I fully had a little meltdown until I was like, you're fine. This is fine. This is a nice step that you took.
Wow.
Good.
Holy shit, that's a big deal.
Yeah. And then I went through my phone. After I parked, I went through my phone and deleted all the numbers of the gentleman I no longer speak to and probably will never speak to again.
Wow, that's awesome.
I was like, why are you holding on to all of this? And I'm trying to clear my love house because 2020, I'm going to meet somebody and it's going to be great. I keep saying, I've been saying it for about like 8 months now. I'm like, 2020, it's going to be really good.
Pushing it forward. I don't know. I think that is a really wonderful purge.
Thank you. It felt good. Well, no, not in the moment. But later, now it feels good.
Yeah, because they were taking up space in your life that they didn't deserve anymore.
Yes.
So that your love house can be clean. You basically saged your love house.
Yes.
And now it's open and ready for somebody else to come in.
Yes, and he's going to be a real dream. I can't wait.
He's going to be a treat.
I can't wait. Can I ask? You have two kids.
Yes.
Did having kids, because I don't get to interview very many people with children.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why. It's not on purpose. But having kids does like change a relationship. What is my question? Did having kids make having a relationship harder? Because now it's three people that you deal with?
Yes. It makes it hard on so many levels. It also makes it... It also changes it in really great ways. Mm-hmm. And like you get to see, or at least in my experience, like I got to see my partner in this whole new way. And like now he's off with our kids in Santa Barbara for the night. Mm-hmm. And he surprised them with like a train trip to Santa Barbara. And he was like, I was like, I have to go do Nicole's podcast. He's like, will you feel sad if you can't come? And I was like, no, like everybody get out. Get out of here. I love you all, but like go to the ocean. But it's really wonderful to get to see this person that you love, you know, take on this new role. But it also does, yes, it completely changes everything. It changes your relationship to yourself, to your body, to your mental health. I mean, so it's you, then it's your relationship to your spouse. Then you've got these new humans that are in your life that like you have to guide through the world. It's crazy. And it's exhausting and it's rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
But like in terms of my relationship with my husband, one thing we do is we try to go away alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like obviously, yes, it's like bone time, but but like it's just nice to like be together and not be also multitasking like a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old's needs. So whenever my in-laws come to town or even my dad, we often like just go away for the night. And that has been a very positive thing for our relationship.
I like that. My dear friend who she's got a kid and then her husband has a kid and they do, I think like maybe 2 or 3 trips a year without them.
Wow.
Which I think is like kind of short trips. And I was like, oh, maybe that's the key to like having a successful family dynamic is just like getting the fuck away from your kids sometimes. It's like you love them, but like kids are a lot of work.
Yeah, and I think you have to establish like boundaries with your kids, whether they know that's what's happening or not. Like you have to claim time for yourselves as a couple and as a unit that doesn't involve them. And it's so great to do stuff as a family. Like I love doing stuff, all the four of us. It's a blast. But like also it's nice just to be with Anthony, like not talking about who's going to like make dinner and who's going to, you know, do homework with somebody and all that kind of shit. It's nice to like just remember why we like fell in love fucking 100 years ago.
They're so sweet. I love it.
We were such little babies.
When was your relationship official? Do you remember? Like, do you remember, was there a conversation or was it just like, oh boy, we now live together in this wild?
Well, we did move in together very quickly, in my opinion. But no, I remember talking it out. And I think he was kind of more ready to be in a relationship. And I was still like, what am I doing with my life? But we moved in together, I think, after a year of dating.
Oh, see, I don't think that's that quick.
No, it felt quick.
I feel like a couple months is rather quick. But then also, I'm of the school, move in with somebody whenever you want, because you can always move out.
Yes.
You can always adjust your living situation.
I think, like, give it a few months to make sure it's someone who you, like, you can be in a healthy relationship with. And then, yeah, go for it. I mean, our rent got significantly cheaper.
So much cheaper. You know? A real treat in New York City. Splitting that rent on a one bedroom or maybe a studio.
It was a studio. Mm. It was a studio in Chelsea, but we got to move to Chelsea.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Get to be right next to the theater.
That's where we were. I mean, just always bringing it back to that improv.
Gotta love improv.
Well, he ran the theater, too, yes. So it was very convenient for our dorky lives.
Fun fact, sometimes, back in the day, I would call Anthony improv daddy. And anytime, like, I saw Anthony laugh, I'd be like, ah, daddy's happy.
Oh, that just makes me so happy.
Because, like, I very much respected his opinion because I thought he was so funny and I thought he curated the theater in a way that I was like, ah, oh, man, everything that's happening is so good. Daddy must be pleased with
Daddy's
me.
Daddy's happy.
You could tell him I said that.
He does have a stern daddy vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Dare I say a zaddy? Do you know what a zaddy is?
A zaddy,
is?
Yeah.
Is a zaddy like an old hot dad?
It's I would say a man who's in his mid to late 40s.
Okay.
Who's very, very handsome. You're like, ooh, he's more than a daddy. He's a zaddy.
He's a zaddy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, then he could be a zaddy.
Yeah, he counts.
Yeah.
I'll call him. I'll text him that later. He's going to be very confused.
Never explain it.
Nope, nope.
Just be like, ooh, that's my zaddy. I'll be like, what are you talking about? Zaddy. Zaddy has questions.
Zaddy.
Let's see. So you had relationships in high school, in college. Then you had your rumspringa. What's the, not the worst. So, okay, you never did apps or anything.
No, because I've been with my husband since 2003.
Yep.
So, like, the excitement I feel when my friend, like a friend who's single, hands over their phone and lets me go through their app, it is the thrill of my fucking life.
That's so funny because it's so exhausting and so sad every time I open the app.
I'm sure, like, if experiencing it from a dating point of view, I can't, like, for me, it's fun just being like, oh, if I swipe right that they're going to find out, like, ooh. But for for an actual way of having to put yourself out there and meet people, I imagine it's exhausting as hell.
Yeah, and I'm leaning away from doing it.
Okay.
I don't really have the time to do it per se. And I recently have had two of the dumbest conversations with somebody. So this guy messaged me and then I replied a couple months later because I don't know. I just hadn't opened Tinder in a while. And then I responded. We started talking. And I was like, oh, what a treat. This is going well. And he was like 1,000 miles away or something like that. And I said, oh, when are you back in L.A.? He says, oh, I tour with this band I'm in. I don't really come to L.A. that often. And I said, well, where do you live? He was like, Oregon. I said, oh, I'm in Portland a lot. And he was like, okay. When are you in Portland next? I tell him, he's like, ah, man, I'm on tour. And I was like, okay, cool. We're never going to meet.
No.
Why are we talking?
What was the point? Did you ask him?
No, and I don't know how, I guess I don't care what his point was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just fully pointless. I was like, this was just a conversation to get to know our geographical regions. I don't just, care.
Just pinpoint where we are.
Care.
So then have you had success just meeting people in real time?
No, not really. Because when I'm touring, I'm tired
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
And then, so like the last, I was just, I did Philly, New York, Boston. So I was on a plane every day. So So I was like, I'm not going to go out to a bar and then be hungover and then have to get on a plane and then have to work out of a hangover to do a show. And then when I do a weekend in a town, sometimes if you go to a bar that's like close to your hotel or the club, you just run into people who saw the show and then you don't know what people's intentions are. Mm-hmm. Or they're just like a little weird. And then I do get propositioned a lot. Like I did a live episode of Why Won't You Date Me in Boston, and some of the questions at the Q&A at the end of the podcast were like, want to join my threesome? And I'm like, no, oh. I don't. And then it's a very weird thing where I'm like, oh, you want me to publicly reject you?
Oh God.
I've never heard of someone just asking a person to do a threesome and then them saying, I've been waiting for that question all yes. day. I was going through my Saturday being like, who's going to invite me to the threesome tonight? Oh, you, thank you. Let's do it. It's a very transactional thing that's insane. It would be insane if I went, yes, please.
That's not real human
connection.
And then went
off and did it. That's insane.
No.
And I got asked, I think, 2 or 3 times.
Do you feel like there's is it frustrating because you're famous and you're these people who are asking you are your fans, like they're mm-hmm. there because they like you. Is it a little bit like you just are looking at me like I'm a novelty hookup a little
yes.
bit?
Yes. And it would be not that I like think highly of myself, but it would be a story for them.
Yes. Yes.
Where for me, it's like, I'm just really, I'd like to connect with somebody.
Yeah, I just want to be held and hold someone.
Yeah, I think I've said it before, but what I'm truly looking for is someone I can sit on a couch with, not say a word while watching TV, and then be like, that was funny. And they're like, yes, that was funny. And then we go back to being quiet. And then maybe my phone beeps because he sent me a meme. Oh. And I go, ha, 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 that was a funny meme. And then we go back to being quiet. And then when I'm on the road, I get to call him and tell him about my day. He tells me about his day. And we just are fundamentally interested in each other.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm truly looking for. I was like, I could have more bad sex with random strangers, but I don't think I'm interested in that.
So in your like quest for a partner, will you be celibate?
I don't think I'll be celibate. I think if something happens organically, then I'm fully into that. But I don't think I'm going to be like on the prowl as much mm-hmm. anymore. And I think I'm okay with that because I haven't been on the prowl for, I spent a couple months on the road being like, ooh, I'm gonna try for it tonight. And it just didn't go well any of the way. Or out of 3 attempts, 1 was good.
Okay.
Which isn't the terrible odds.
1 out of 3 is pretty good.
But it was pretty exhausting, you know?
It's a lot of energy.
The one that actually worked, we talked for so long, and I didn't know if it was going to actually happen. And I was like, I don't know how to just be like, can we fuck her? Like, what is happening? So I was like, I don't have the time. I don't have the stamina to do this. But yeah, I think I'm okay being celibate for a little bit. I just bought a new vibrator.
Yes. What did you get?
I think the company is called Linda's Dog.
Wait, what? Really?
Uh-huh. And I read some of the reviews last night on when I did the live podcast. But it's a friend of mine told me about this vibrator called a womanizer.
I have one.
So it's a womanizer with a G-spot thing connected to it. So you can make the G-spot vibrate and the clit sucker suck. And then sometimes you hit too many buttons and you fall out of your bed.
Holy shit, Linda's Dog.
Uh-huh.
And Linda's Dog.
Linda's Dog. The reviews on it are like, I died. I was resurrected. I don't go to therapy anymore. I'm the happiest person in America. I don't need a man ever again. I walk side to side for a week. So the first time, and this was not the first time I saw reviews for this vibrator, but when I tried to buy it, it was sold out. I couldn't find it anywhere. But now it's back in stock on Amazon.com.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's honestly just a real treat. And I was like, well, I could just not have a partner for now and use this vibrator until some nice person walks into my life. And I fully know that someone's not going to just walk in. I have to do a little bit of work.
Yeah.
But then also, maybe someone will just walk into my life.
I think that's possible.
Yeah.
And I will say, I love your description of what your ideal relationship is. And I feel like that is what my husband and I still have, which is like why mm-hmm. we're still married. You know what I mean? Like, because yes. it is really hard being with somebody for a long time. And you mm-hmm. do go through a lot of shit. But like at the end of the day, we can hang out and make each other laugh and mm-hmm. be quiet and not have it be stressful. And it's so, that is, it is a really lovely feeling if that is what you are looking for in your life, to have a partner like that.
Absolutely.
Totally.
I think nothing more nightmarish than being with someone and being like, I have to figure out something to say to them.
Oh, God.
Being silent with them makes me feel like they're going to lean over and pick my nose. I don't know. Something weird's going to happen. And so you're just trying to have the conversation keep going. And that seems awful.
Yeah.
I once lived with a person where I was like, I guess that was your day. And then everything they said back to me would be just as exhausted.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to be speaking to me either. And it was just awful. This person.
Well, it's like you don't really care.
No.
And they don't really care.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to care.
I was like, why are we all doing this? This is awful.
When my mom died, my dad started dating again. And I was trying to get him to date on apps. I don't think Tinder was around, but like, you know, like OkCupid or whatever.
Or like kind of eHarmony.
Yes, exactly. And he refused. Mm-hmm. And he met my stepmom at dance class.
Oh.
Yep.
Wait, what kind of dance class was he taking?
He was, no. I wish.
That'd be fun.
Because let me tell you, he is a almost 70-year-old man from Boston. So, he was secretly taking dance classes so that he would be prepared for my wedding, for our father-daughter dance.
Oh, boy. That is so sweet.
He's the best. Yeah, it was real weepy when he told me.
What a real treat. My dad, God bless, rest in peace, would never. I would be lucky if he showed up to my wedding to walk me down the aisle. My dad was the least social person.
Really?
Yeah, I think he was just like, what's the point of talking to someone if I don't give a fuck about that person? And he cared very deeply about some people, yeah. But truly, like, my mom is a very social person, and she would have people over from the church, and she loved a big old Easter dinner, and she just loved it. She loved entertaining. And then my dad would just be upstairs until the last minute, and then he'd be like, I have to talk to these people.
So what do you think connected the two of them?
I don't know. My mother was a very, very magnetic person who you could hear her laugh truly from down the street. And she had this big smile on her face all the time. And she looked like a cartoon. She was a short, round woman who was like loud and like truly walked with her arms open to be like, give it to me. I want a hug.
Amazing.
She was the best. And my dad was like a pretty stoic person who, if you hung around long enough to actually hear him talk, was very funny. Like, and I didn't know he was a funny person until maybe 3 months before he died.
Holy shit. I'm glad you found out, though.
Yeah, it was so wild because, like, I would pop in. I was living in New York. He was in Jersey. So I would just pop in on the weekends sometimes. And sometimes I'd tell him, sometimes I wouldn't. And I calmed down a little bit and would start listening to him tell stories. And I'd be like, oh, he's a genuinely funny person. And I guess we're a little too similar, so that's why we didn't vibe very well together. But then I started doing ridiculous things and he would enjoy them. So like my favorite thing to do was I had to park at the end of the driveway so he could get his car out. And I would walk in slow motion to him screaming, Papa! And he would go, why are you doing this? And I'd be like, Papa! And he'd be like, please stop. And I'm like, Papa! And he'd be like, oh, I don't like it. And it was just like, he understood the comedy in the bit.
Yeah.
And then he would be saying, I don't like it, with a smile on his face.
He did like it.
Yeah, he loved it. So we just started to understand each other later. And then maybe he didn't like me because I reminded him of my mother. So I think, like, after she died, I think we just truly had that, like, yeah. And, like, I remember one time I was like, was I adopted? Because I don't really look like anybody in my family, but the older I get, the more I look like my mom. And he went, adopted? No. Look at your thighs. You have your mother's thighs. And I was like, what a wild thing to say to a person. But I do I am my mother from my neck to my knees.
Not your face.
Well, my face slowly is starting to look more like
okay.
her. Later, like, since, like, I'll go to Chicago and my aunts will be like, you look just like Bonnie. Wow, yeah. Like, this is getting crazy.
Wait a second. Neck to your knees. Who is your knee to your foot?
So knee to foot, I am my Aunt Sharon.
Oh my God. That's wild.
She's knock-kneed and okay. I'm knock-kneed.
Me too.
Are you?
Yes. It's a real way to be.
It's a very strange thing that happens to your body.
I look very strange in photos where you can see it.
Yes.
It's very weird.
Yeah. And I try to like move my legs around so you don't notice it as much. But it's very strange. And whenever someone's like, Nicole, from behind, I'm like, how do they know it was me? I was like, oh, because your legs are insane.
I've never noticed that about your legs.
Yeah, I'm very, very knock-kneed. Oh, and if you don't know what knock-kneed is, it means your knees touch. No matter how much weight you lose, your knees uh-huh. will always touch. And then your calves kind of go out in a V.
Yeah, your legs look like X's, essentially, yes, like from the yes. outside.
Ugh, it's a very strange affliction to have.
My second child has it very severely.
Oh, does she?
Oh, yeah. It's very, like, I see it so deeply. It's just how I think my mm-hmm. dad, like, it's just weird genetics. You, yeah. Aunt Sharon.
Mm-hmm. My mother wasn't knock-kneed, but she had a big old butt. She was 5'2", but if she sat down next to you, she was taller than you. No matter how tall you were.
She just rose up on her butt?
Like, her butt was just so big.
Oh.
And I got a big old butt. But yeah, I wish I like, when I do finally get into a relationship, it bums me out that I won't be able to like call my mom and be like, Mom, guess what? Somebody fucks me and loves me. Cause she would be like, oh, Nicole, do you have to speak like that? But I'm so happy for you.
That is a really fucking real part of grief. And I feel like it shows itself in new parts of your life. Like as you get older and more things happen mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, let's call my mom and tell her. Yeah. Like tell her I'm getting the dicking of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't. And it's really annoying. It sucks.
It's very annoying. It's more annoying than like sad because you're like, ah, fuck.
Yes. Yes. I feel annoyed about it all. Yes. And, like angry about it all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you like, if this gets too woo, let me know. But do you ever just like speak out loud to your mom? Like, do you have any spiritual connection in that way?
Sometimes. Sometimes if something really great happens and I'm like just so excited about it. When I'm alone at night, I will talk to her and tell her. And my dad, I'll be like, I feel like you want to know too.
You too.
But I truly talk to them the way I would if they were still here.
Yeah.
Because my dad, I told this on an NPR thing. It's still funny to me. The audience didn't really like it. But my dad, when we started like kind of understanding each other, I had started taking improv. And I was like, can you come to the city and see my graduation show? Because he hated New York. Would never come. The way he dropped me off at college was he put everything in my room and kissed me on the cheek and said bye-bye. And I thought he was coming back upstairs and he had left.
Oh, but, my God.
He hated New York. So I said, Daddy, please come to my graduation show. And he said, okay, fine. And then he died midway through me taking my first set of classes. And the joke I said was, my dad would rather die than watch his daughter do object work. And... that NPR grad?
NPR
grad. Did not like it.
Too dark for them? That was just a little...
It made me laugh really hard. It still does.
That makes me laugh.
So I was just like, yeah.
I also love... I love fucking gallows humor so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my mom and I, like... she knew she was going to die before I ever got married. So we, like, talked about my wedding. And she told me to sprinkle her ashes... have the flower girl sprinkle her ashes down the aisle. Which I think is so funny. And I tell people who...
I think that's really
My mom had a really good sense of humor and was mm-hmm. very dark and funny. And like people are horrified mm-hmm. when I tell them that. And I think it's fucking hilarious.
So funny.
Also, FYI, we didn't do it.
You should
buried her ashes in like a weird can in New Hampshire.
My mom is buried in the backyard of my old house in New Jersey.
No
which
way.
Feels insane that I'm like. Some child's playing on my dead mom.
Yeah, like that is crazy. I mean, I don't want to say that is crazy, but that feels crazy.
No, it's insane.
We
should have put it somewhere else.
Was a cemetery plot not an option?
Well, she didn't have a will.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad wanted to cremate her because I think he thought it was like ghoulish to like visit a grave. So we cremated her. And then when she came, also no one tells you that your loved one comes in a cardboard box and then in like a plastic thing that you cannot open and you will get them everywhere. You're just going to have a dead person, just bits of them under your fingernails and on your clothes. And then my grandparents were there and we're all like, where do we put her? I don't know. And my dad was like, in the backyard. So then we just sprinkled her over these bushes.
Oh, so you sprinkled her.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
We put her over these bushes that she couldn't get to grow. And then They blossomed. Did they like really? That next spring. Yeah.
Oh my God. See, I love shit
and then
like that.
Never blossomed again.
That's beautiful.
And then my dad, we sprinkled him in Sandy Hook along the beach, which is illegal, but it's like a bike path that he took. And I was the one who did it. And as soon as I dumped those ashes, a gust of wind came and my mouth was open. And I don't think I've seen my grandmother laugh harder. And truly a full blown nightmare. But yeah, cremation is such a
it's
curious
creepy.
Thing.
It's weird. I have my cat, my dead cat in my house. Like I want to be cremated and then put in an urn. And I want to just like live with my family in
see,
an urn.
I have a will where the woman who notarized my my trust or whatever, she was like, you cannot force people to do things for money. And I said, can I force people to do things for no money? And she was like, I mean, you can put it in your will and have it notarized, but like,
oh my God,
you can't force people to do anything. And I was like, cool, great, I'll type it up. So I have a very long list of things that people are expected to do after I die.
Do they know?
Yes, okay. I've told them all, but I haven't told them specifically what they have to do.
That sounds like a fun adventure.
Fun mystery. And then my poor sister, she's got to do stuff, and she's never wanted to do one thing in her life.
Oh, poor baby.
She's always like, not that I'm too much, but I'm too much for her. Sometimes I feel like I've ruined her life. She was she's a very quiet person, and she was born a year and a half before me. Life was great. My mom was told she couldn't have any more kids. Guess started raw dogging. And then I was like, yo, baby, I'm here.
Oh, shit.
And then she never really got to speak again. Once I started speaking, I would speak for her. And even now, my grandmother will be like, are you guys hungry? And she'll look at me. And I'll be like, tell her. And then it's because years. It was like 20 years or 30 years, because I didn't realize I was doing this till a couple years ago. 30 years of like this girl never being able to answer a question.
And you just talking for her.
Uh-huh.
And did she finally like address it with you?
Yeah, I guess there was a turning point. So I'm knock-kneed. One of my legs is longer than the other one. So I bump into people if I don't pay attention. And we were in the mall once and I bumped into her and I said, Catherine, God, stop running into me. And she went, it's you. It's you. You run into me. One of your legs is longer than the other one and you walk in circles sometimes. It made me laugh because I was like, oh, you've been holding this in for how many years?
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, she's a good egg. I tried to get her to do my live show in Chicago and she fundamentally had a breakdown.
No.
She was like, nobody wants to hear me. Why would I ever? No, I have things to do. Goodbye. I was like, okay.
Does she have a partner?
No, she is currently single and ready to mingle.
She is too.
She's on the apps. She's looking. She's she's working with her boundary issues. And I think it's going well, but sometimes she'll be like, so I have to go on a date with this guy and I guess I have to go. I'm like, you don't have to go.
like Tinder's gonna get mad if she doesn't go.
Tinder's gonna be so mad your rating will go down. Yeah, I think it's we have a hard time finding people that we're like willing to invest time in. Cause a lot of people are bad.
I think most people are not worth the time.
Yeah.
Especially as we get older, it's like,
oh yeah. It's like I have very limited time. I gotta spend it with somebody who's quality.
Yes. I have faith that there's a person floating around who's going to just walk in one day.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know. I mean, not to be, again, a woo person, but I just feel like, I like my stepmom and my dad are married now, obviously, if I'm calling her my stepmom. But she had never married anyone. She'd had a series of long-term relationships, and I don't want to speak about her because, you know, she's a private citizen.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I just think sometimes your person comes later in life. Sometimes they come, you know, and like my dad and my mom got married when they were 20 and 21 and were together until my mom died. And then he tried to date, which was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he found my stepmom and like that was it again for him. I don't know. I just think.
Yeah, sometimes.
Somebody's going to float in.
That happens for people.
Yeah.
My dad started dating after my mother died and he didn't tell us.
Oh, boy.
This woman left this very erotic message to him on the answer machine, and I found it. Then I made Catherine listen to it, and she was so upset the whole time. And then I was like, I'm going to ask him about it. And she was like, don't. So then I was like, Detty, are you dating somebody? And he went, that's my business. I was like, but your business is our business because you're our dad?
Yeah, and you were still like teens, right?
This was, no, I was in college at that point. So I think I was 18, 19, maybe 20.
What was an erotic voicemail like?
She was like, Trevor, I think about you in the shower.
Oh my God.
And I really wish I had recorded it because it was so funny. And then we never got to meet her, but she did come to the funeral, I'm pretty sure, because she wore a tight black dress and was like, Trevor meant so much to me. And then she walked away and me and my sister were like, we've never met this woman before who meant so much to my dad and was like very hot. She was a very hot woman.
Wow. Good
it
for
was
your dad.
So strange.
It is weird. It is weird. It just even like envisioning our parents as sexual beings,
yeah,
like
bizarre.
On the prowl. Yeah.
But then it's just like, well, they fucked to have me. So
I mean, they do got
needs.
But the fact that like someone was thinking about your dad in the shower is surreal.
So funny. Oh, my sister was so upset. I've never seen a person angrier. Oh. And I loved it. It made me laugh so hard. And he was so angry that we had heard it. Oh, boy. Kate, we've come to the end.
Boy, this was a treat.
This was a real dream.
Not to
Thank you so much
your
for
term.
Doing it.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
Fine. Honestly, I never realize truly how often I say things until people tell me that I say them a lot. Like, I didn't realize I said treat and dream as much as I do. But apparently I say it a lot. And then there was something else I say a lot. I don't remember. Anyway, do you have anything you want to promote?
Oh, you can listen to my podcast, Forever 35,
anywhere
you hear podcasts. And you can buy my book, which is called The Dead Moms Club, anywhere you can buy books.
Yes, 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 yes.
That's basically what I do. I talk about dead people and skincare.
I mean, is there anything else to talk about?
Let's just keep moisturizing until we die, Nicole.
Okay, if you like this episode of Oh, Why Won't You Date Me, you can subscribe, you could rate it, you could write me a nasty message coming on to me, and then I will read it. So this was sent to me in January, and they said, I want you to ride me so hard that you rip off my dick and then use that dick as a strap-on to peg my ass, impregnating me with two beautiful fraternal twins that we love and cherish for the rest of our days. And then yesterday they said, this was never read on the podcast, and I'm sad. So, you better buckle up, because you just got read. let's see if I can find another one. Oh, here we go. Sup, mommy? Trying to send you something obscene, so here it goes. I want to rub Cheeto dust all around your areolas with my own, and then let out a Chester the Cheetah growl when we both boob climax at the same... at the same time, from boobgasming, thanks to Rihanna. How interesting. Okay.
That took a turn.
It did. And I think that's it. I think that's all I have right now. Ooh, I want you to tongue punch your fart box so hard that my tongue comes out of your puss.
And
eats an entire Happy Meal through your puss. And then I'll put on a condom. Then I'll put a condom on your baby vibrator and buzz your puss. Till you cream out horseradish. That one,
wow.
It makes me upset.
That's a lot.
I don't.
Horseradish?
That means you're sick. You got to go to the doctor.
Yeah, that's spicy.
And chunky?
It's just bad news all around.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Oh, God.
Yuck.
Maybe that's your soulmate.
Imagine?
Can you imagine?
So gross. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, baby.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best Eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best Eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.